Dak Prescott, the poise that he has shown, the fourth round pick, has been what stood out to me. To his left, end zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott?
And we are live here at Bench Warmers Radio, part of the Overtime.News Network, as well as the Sports Roundup series of sports shows. Chris McSwiggin here with you. Jeremy Bloom coming into the studio any minute now. I keep telling him, Jeremy, you know, you gotta be on when I'm on. But, you know, the vending machine, just sometimes he gets a little overzealous. So he'll be on shortly here with us. Big jam-packed show today. As you know, both of us are Celtics fans.
Okay, both of us are baseball.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Giants and Cowboys, which is coming up in 50 days as well. So when that comes up, and when Jeremy gets in, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And I'm trying to get Jeremy's mic on here. So we're going to go right into it. We'll get into the opening banter here in a minute, but we
get Jeremy's technical difficulties figured out.
Gordon Hayward to the Celtics, is he enough to get the Cavaliers, or excuse me, is he enough to get the C's over the top to beat the Cavaliers? Personally, I wanted Paul George and Gordon Hayward. I thought if some way Danny Ainge is able to pull this trade out of his backside, I really thought that, you know, they would be at that point good enough to beat the Cavaliers. With Hayward, yeah, I understand he's a triple double potential kind of a guy, a double double nightly kind of a guy, but he's a guy who can give you solid scoring, solid rebounding. He can give you, you know, a presence there, and he played with his old college coach. I mean, he knows the system that Gordon Hayward or that Brad Stevens is trying to run here. Jeremy, do we have everything figured out for you here? Are you on now with us?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay, about time. Good
Screw
lord.
Off.
Sometimes the vending machine, you know, you get a little overzealous. But
clever.
I understand that. But how have you been? It's been a long time since you've been on the air with me. I'm doing a lot of solo shows. So Swiss and Bloom has been a bit stale per se.
I've been working too much to pay my rent because we have no money.
Well, you got to pay bills, right?
Yes.
You got kids to feed.
How many kids?
No, I know, but well, maybe soon. Who knows? But
yeah,
well, I was just going into a little bit. I know we're both Celtics fans.
Yes.
Obviously, we differ in baseball and we differ in football with
thank God.
And Cowboys and Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into Cowboys-Giants at the last hour. This is a commercial-free hour. It's a special hour.
Right.
Hour-long broadcast here today. So it's normally we do the two-hour show with the commercials and the things. Now it's an hour-long, no commercials here today. So we really got to get into this and really pound this out. I was talking a little bit before you came on the air. Gordon Hayward. Is he
yes.
enough to get the Celtics over the top?
Not even close.
I wanted Paul George and Gordon Hayward. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but, I mean, hey, a guy can dream, right? But
well,
does
I
Gordon
tell
Hayward
you.
Give us enough to beat LeBron?
No. I'm actually quite flabbergasted that Oklahoma City only had to give up Oladipo and Sabonis to get Paul George. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're
which,
telling me
which is crazy.
That, yeah, you're telling me, you know, Kevin Pritchard, the GM of the Pacers, that's the best deal you could have got for Paul George before he walked? Are you kidding me? I'm flabbergasted. I'm more flabbergasted because you're telling me Danny Ainge couldn't put together a better package than that? I don't understand.
You're also telling me that they, you know, they didn't want to trade, you know, Isaiah Thomas, but
no, they might.
In a way, yeah, but in a way, I mean, Paul George, if you were, chances are you were going to get Gordon Hayward anyway, okay? Because
right.
with his old
but there was no guarantee
coach,
George was
going to
play past this year.
Well,
that was
true,
the whole thing.
But,
I wouldn't want to give up three
yeah.
picks for a one-year rental.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, I think Hayward will play more than 1 year in Boston.
What?
I said I think Hayward would have played 1 year in Boston. I think Paul George would have played. Paul George would have played more than 1 year in Boston. I think so. Because
well,
think about it.
I think they had to
everyone
they
saying,
had
oh, well, Paul
him.
George wants to go to the Lakers. He's L.A. bound. He's a big L.A. guy.
Why?
You know,
can I ask why? The Lakers won 24 games last year, man. They're not going to be in contention for 10 years, dude.
Well, it's the allure of the – it's the allure
yeah.
of L.A. It's the bright light.
Well, guess
you
what?
Know, it's
they don't
the Laker,
have Kobe
the
and Shaq
legacy.
Anymore, by the way. Okay.
No, they
you got
Lonzo
Brandon
Ball,
Ingram and Ball. Are you kidding me? Please.
Well,
they
have
– I'm
they,
sorry.
They're the best team in the summer league, the NBA summer league.
Oh, boy. You know what that means? All right, please.
Yeah, it really doesn't mean anything. Yeah, the NBA summer league, I mean, they're not even – I mean, you're playing a Warriors team without any of their starters.
Oh, please.
So, I mean, it's
– Listen,
yeah,
the summer,
the summer joke,
league
but.
Is for rookies and guys still trying to hang on to contracts. Okay, that's all the summer league is. Please. I've
true.
Watched one
true.
Game in 5
true.
Years.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
you know, I've actually never
I watched
paid attention.
Paul's debut, but that was about it.
Well, true, but like I've
Tate.
Never paid attention to the summer league, but
no.
I did. I have been this year, and the reason I have been this year, one, it's a lot more televised than it's ever been
yes.
before, and that's because
Sunny ESPN
of Lonzo
minutes.
Ball and players like that. But not only is it more televised than it's ever been, but Jason Tatum. You can't tell me you're not excited about the Tatum pick.
Oh, I like Tatum. I wasn't sure, you know. I was more floored that the fact they just wanted to add another pick. They could have just taken him at one, but it was so stupid. But he wanted to get another
well,
pick.
I don't think he was. Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's a steal at three. I think
yeah.
you know, and it's so weird because you think only two picks behind, but you think, okay, well, maybe they reach at one. Because honestly, looking at his game and looking at what he's done, he was a reach at one, but he's a steal at three. And it sounds weird to
I don't
say
see
that,
how he was
a
reach at
different.
One, by the way. I'm sorry. I don't think – I've never thought Markelle Fultz was that great.
Fultz was definitely – I honestly, as much as I hate the guy, I think Ball should have went number one. But
was Fultz really the best player in the draft, like coming out?
No,
like,
not at all.
The guy won nine
no.
games at college, which isn't his fault, truthfully, because he had no talent
well,
around
Washington,
him.
Yeah, Washington
but,
was on a horrific team. But, I mean, he
yeah.
was one of the top scorers in the Pac-12.
Well,
but,
Tatum was
know,
hurt
I mean,
half the year, too, for Duke, and people didn't get to have to see with him.
You
but
are,
that didn't
yeah,
stop
but when
Kyrie
played,
Irving
was,
from getting drafted number one when Irving went, came out. Like, he only played 10 games or something like that at Duke, and he still went number one.
Well, you know who I do like, though? I do like that Semi Ojeleye guy from
oh,
SMU.
Yes.
I mean,
I told everybody
gonna
he was going to be
too.
Great. Yes. Listen, this guy went from the fourth guy at the bench to at Duke to the AAC Player of the Year. He was fantastic this year. People don't realize how good his team improved.
Up, well, you got to watch him beat up your UConn Huskies for a couple
That's funny.
Of years. So
hilarious.
Yeah,
no, he only played one year. He only played 1 year.
I know. But
you
no, got
he
to watch
looks pretty good,
UConn.
Man. You know what I was actually floored about was that,
what was that?
Miami gave Kelly Olynyk 4 years and $50 million. Are you kidding me? Oh.
Did I
miss something?
And for all of our fans out there who aren't sure about that trade, did he take it?
What? He took it. He's gone.
Yeah, I know. I know. Kelly Olynyk is gone. But do you really care?
No.
Okay, because
he was,
Tatum.
Listen.
Because now Tatum's
yeah.
going to come in and replace Olynyk, and he's going to be what Olynyk was. He's going to be that swing forward. He's not 7 feet tall, but he's
no.
you know, he's 6'9". But he's
well, I'm more
that,
happy
that
he got rid of Amir Johnson,
down.
Who was useless. Unbelievable.
Well, Amir Johnson.
Why they resigned him.
I don't understand why Amir Johnson has the highest contract on the team. I don't get that.
Not anymore.
No, that's true.
He's gone.
Here's another thing. Did you hear Kendrick Perkins wants to come back into the league?
I saw that. What the hell is he going to do? Ugh.
Well,
I'm sorry. I got off topic, by the way, to get your question. Hayward is not enough to get the Celtics over at Cleveland. But
oh, yes,
they're getting
that was the topic. We went on a bit of a run there.
No, I thought they gave him a lot of money, truthfully. But he is getting better. I think Brad Stevens had a lot to do with this. I don't think if Stevens was the coach that would have much influence on him coming to Boston, because there would have been no incentive, because he would have made, you know, the max money and got his bird rights at Utah. And why would he want to leave there? I mean, the only thing that makes sense to me was playing in the East. We don't have to play Golden State now. But that's about it. I like the signing. I think he's going to be a star in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think he's going to help them beat Cleveland unless Irving, like, craps out or they trade Kevin Love. LeBron is still the best player on the planet. Until somebody beats them, then forget it.
Well, they haven't really been doing much of anything, in the offseason. And, I understand that you know, they are the best team in the East. But, I mean, the Celtics, I think without the injury to Isaiah Thomas, and I think, you know, without some of the other, Celtics being banged up, I think that they could have contended. They could have competed. And I think that they could have taken more than one game with Isaiah Thomas playing.
I know. I don't think so.
I don't know,
Thomas,
man.
Thomas played the
LeBron,
first two games. Forget it.
I don't know, man. I think LeBron.
Yeah, but did you see
in that
series, though, how far cutting above Cleveland was compared to Boston? Regardless of Thomas was in there. But it wasn't even close.
I
don't want to keep hyping this, because the Celtics only won 53 games, okay, to win the East. Cleveland tanked half the games, if you ask me, the beginning of the year.
That's not really that much
of an accomplishment, man.
What it looks like to me is you look at the infusion of young talent into Boston, and you look at what they have,
which has been sorely lacking.
Together. Well, true, but you look at what they have put together, okay? And now Amir Johnson at 30 is now the oldest guy on that team. And
he's gone.
You know, So he's the youngest guy on the roster. So now they don't have anybody above 26, okay?
No.
So now, well, Crowder maybe. Crowder might be over that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they got rid of Avery Bradley, which I'm a little upset about as well. And, you know.
Well, somebody
but now,
has to go, dude. You
well,
know,
true,
there's,
but you look,
with risk,
but
there's
you look
always
at your
reward.
Team. Well, true. But you look at this team now, and you think to yourself, this is a war of attrition. This is a waited out game. What they're doing right now is they're building young talent, and they're trying to wait out LeBron. Basically, they're saying, because you look at what happened to that Cavaliers team. Okay, LeBron took them to the finals. I mean, obviously they lost, but it took them to the finals twice. Okay, lost.
Yeah.
When LeBron went to Miami,
yeah, they won one.
There was a lot of. They were a lottery pick the 4 years he was gone.
Yeah.
He comes back. Now, of course, he didn't have the same kind of talent around him he has now. I understand that. But this team is a 5 seed, maybe, without LeBron. Okay? So this Celtics team.
Not even close.
What are you talking about? This team, Kyrie Irving's going to lead the team? I mean, you've got Kyrie Irving and overrated Kevin Love. But without LeBron James, this team is not what they were.
No, I agree. I think that the East is horrible, more horrible than people
not
think,
anymore.
Dude.
I mean, Philly's gonna be better than you think this year.
When? In 5 years? Listen, Embiid's got to play more than 26 games, okay? Everybody, Fultz already got hurt. Simmons already got hurt. Please, it's a curse. It's a sign. I'm sorry. They're never going to be great. Please. Listen, karma's a bitch, okay? the Sixers have been tanking for like this team. Listen, when I grew up and I was a kid, this team was the second best team in the East behind the Celtics. Okay, you had Dr. J, Barkley, and Moses Malone, Maurice Cheeks. And this team, how sad this franchise has become since I grown up as a kid. And they start, you know, and they had a couple good years there with Iverson when he was okay. You know, and they've tanked all these years to get these number one picks. Well, guess what? They ain't all panning out, okay? And you need more than that to get this team going. They're never gonna get it. I'm sorry. No way.
Well, when you look at their roster, right? You look at who they've got right now. I mean,
no, they
have talent. Simmons. Yeah, Embiid, Simmons, Fultz, Okafor. I mean, Dario Saric, not terrible.
Now.
Robert Covington. Yeah, I mean, this team, you know, J.J. Redick just signed with them. He's a good outside shooter. Amir Johnson is now on that team. They've got Tiago Splitter, who was in, who went to the Western Conference Finals with San Antonio. I mean, this team is not a bad team talent-wise. Like you said, they can't stay healthy. But I think that the East, put it this way, they're not the West. But then again, though, you look at the West is very top-heavy. I think the East is a lot more competitive in terms of a lot of the teams being pretty evenly matched. Now, you've got the Cavaliers, then you've got a steady drop off to the Celtics, then you've got a lot of those teams right there in that.
Who's after that?
Section,
Atlanta? They just got Dwight Howard. He got traded. They're going to be worse. There's no other good teams,
man. But I'm saying a lot of those teams, maybe they all suck equally, okay? But they're all right there in the mix. Okay?
I put Milwaukee as the third best team in the East now, by the
way. True. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. But are you telling me that, like, Milwaukee and Toronto are that far apart? No. I think all these teams – okay, if you want to say they suck, be it they all suck equally, but there was a pretty evenly matched grouping of teams there in the East, whereas in the West.
Yeah, but so what's the point of that?
They're
never
going to
beat anybody in the West. So who the hell cares?
No,
you really
nobody
care?
Cares. I mean, this is going to be the Golden State Warriors division. It's going to be the
Curry
and
all these guys retire
for the next 5 years.
At least.
This is going to be one of those things where it's going to be Cavaliers and Warriors every year until LeBron James leaves. And then, because the Warriors are so young, they're going to continue. And the next team, hopefully our Celtics, are the team that comes up to challenge them. But this is going to be
I don't see who else would be. Listen, Toronto's got talent. Okay, you know, you got Rose and Lowry. It's Serge Ibaka now. So, I mean, I don't think they have what the Celtics have. But like the Celtics have it. Well, let's be honest. I think, there was always going to be some trade off in getting Hayward. Somebody had to go. I'm truthfully surprised that Crowder didn't go because him and the Hayward play the same damn position. So what the hell are you going to do with Crowder? But like, I was very surprised. Hold on a second. Sorry.
Oh,
I was very
surprised.
I couldn't reach the mute button. All right, get lost.
Yeah.
I was very surprised that Bradley got dealt straight up for Marcus Morris. Like, that's it? I mean, this guy was pretty decent, but that's all they got?
Yeah, I was a little shocked, too. I mean, Bradley.
I know the money.
Defender.
I know it's because of money, but this guy was like their second best player, man.
True, but he was also, I mean, Bradley's a lockdown defender, too. I mean, sure, he was a streaky scorer, and you couldn't always rely on him in the clutch situation scoring, but he was a lockdown defender, a perimeter defender, which they needed.
Yes.
And still need, honestly.
Well, Marcus Smart is pretty good defensively. He's not as good as Bradley, but he couldn't be. Well, listen, if you're looking realistic where this team's going to be now, look, I thought Jaylen Brown had some okay strides. I'm still not sure how good he's going to be. I really think Tatum is going to be a star. Listen, this team needed and has now scoring. Okay. It was Thomas and Bradley maybe once a week. And that was it. Like Horford's not a 20-10 guy anymore. He's good for maybe 14-10, but he's not going to score 25. You got Hayward now who can score 25 a game. You got Thomas in there now. I think Tatum can go for 19 and 20 every night. So that's what they really needed. You know, it's not like Marcus Morris can't score. He's pretty much Kelly Olynyk, but I think a better player. So it's like, I mean, Olynyk had probably more range, but this team is still pretty deep. You got Smart, you know, he probably come off the bench now. So, and Crowder, I don't know what they're going to put Hayward a guard, put Crowder still a small forward. I mean, they still don't really have a center. And they signed that Aaron Baines clown, but he ain't going to start. So, I mean, let's be honest. They're better than they were last week or 2 months ago. So, what else can you say?
Yeah, I suppose so. Now we do have some people. We do have some people listening in who are very, very interested in the third topic that we have about Cowboys Giants coming up in 50 days. But first, I kind of want to get into a little dynamic with the Yankees and Red Sox. I mean, they just finished a series with each other.
Yes.
They just split a series in Fenway. Arguably, I think it should have been 3-1 Yankees. I mean, that first game with bottom of the ninth rally there that they won in the first game, I think that was kind of meh. But
whose fault was that?
The one thing I'm questioning. Well, yeah, okay. But the one thing I'm questioning is this formal protest that they were filing for the interference play.
Oh, that got rejected. Now, it's all done.
Yeah, of course it did. But why? Why even bother?
I don't know.
They're not going to replay the game. It was a 16-inning game. They're not going to replay it.
I really don't. I thought it was a waste of time. None of those things ever get overturned. I don't know why. It was a waste of time. It's not even a blip on the radar anymore, so I could care less. Who cares? It was a waste.
And
I don't really care.
Looking at
you?
Well, okay, no, but I just think that they're sore losers in a way, honestly. I think if they win that game, obviously they don't do that.
Why? Because the Yankees didn't do something right? The Yankees are the one that messed that play up. Not the Red Sox. So how can they be sore losers?
But
that doesn't make any sense.
I just think that if the Red Sox win that game, they don't file that interference protest. Obviously, I just thought it was.
Oh, wait a minute. They would have filed it regardless. Please.
I don't think
you can file something like that unless you lose the game anyway. Doesn't matter. You wouldn't protest the game if you won it.
I just think it was because it was the Yankees. If that play happened to the Royals or the Twins or the Astros, I don't think they file it. I think it's because it was the
Yankees.
Oh,
they've done. Wait a minute. They've done it with Baltimore and Machado this year. They've done it.
Well, you heard what they called Adam Jones. I mean, those Boston – you never know what's going on out there in Boston. But
that's terrible.
Here's the thing. They have the lowest home run total in the entire major league, okay? They are a singles-hitting team for the most part. Okay.
They're not singles hitting. They hit doubles and triples.
This is not a power lineup.
How
is this lineup scoring runs and in first? I mean, I understand the Yankees have lost, 20 of 28 games or 20 of 31 games or something like that?
It's because Aaron Judge can't hit home run every game. Right.
Basically, sure, I understand that. But this Red Sox team – I mean, you got Porcello won the Cy Young last year. He's 4-13.
I told you he was a fluke. I told you.
Yeah, well, you did say that.
He won 20 games
because
he scored 8 runs a game
the other night.
Oh. Oh, Price finally showed up
Price
for a game.
Price.
Please.
Yeah, he finally.
Wait a minute. Don't get your hopes up for
that.
Please. Next start, he's going to give up 6 runs. Unless he puts together for a month and a half stretch here of good pitching, I don't see it coming because he's too damn inconsistent for me, man.
That's true.
$30 million.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't think Price still has lived up to what they thought David Price was going to be when they brought him in.
Well, no, he never will. Dude, Chris Sale has surpassed him in the fans' minds. It's not even close. I know Sale hasn't played in the postseason, but Christ, I'm sure he'll show up better than this clown will at half the price. Not, no pun intended there, by the way. Look, they brought Price in to be the ace, okay? He obviously is not an ace, okay? Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone out and bought the farm and gave up all these guys to get Chris Sale. So Dombrowski realized he messed up, okay? He really did. He gave this guy $30 million a year to be the ace of the staff, which this guy never has been and never will. Thank you. I'm sorry. Christ, Porcello and them starting the first game of the playoffs. Okay, so what does that say? Okay, so they know they made a mistake, and they went out and got Sale, and Sale is now the ace of this staff. It's not even close. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, okay, fair enough. How about, what's your opinion on Pomeranz?
Well, he's actually looked okay. I thought he was gonna, his elbow was gonna fall off. I thought they gave up their best pitching prospect last year, Espinosa, for him, and I didn't like it because, quite frankly, I thought he was lousy last year. I mean, you know, he finally learned how to throw a third pitch, whoopee, you know, and then he was hurt half the year, and this, and the Padres lied about it on the medical, whatever the hell it was. They still kept him, which they should have sent him back. But he looked all right. I mean, he's 9-4. He hasn't looked like he hasn't got bombed like he did last year in a couple starts. He's looked okay. I don't know if where he would pitch if they made the playoffs. He'd probably be the maybe the fourth guy. I mean, I'd actually start him over Porcello right now. Porcello looks dreadful. Oh, please.
And, you know, it's so weird because, like you said, he was the Cy Young winner last year.
Yes.
So I don't really know what happened with him.
Well, here's what happened. Okay. Offense, okay, this team scored 9, almost 10 runs a game from last year, and he pitched better last year. He uses stuff more. This year, they ain't scoring runs for him, and when he has the penchant now for giving up a home run when he shouldn't. So when he's already got them in a 3 or 4 run hole, this offense can't bail his ass out like they did last year. So he's going to be on the hook. So that's plain and simple. That's exactly why he's 4-13, because they don't score enough runs for him, and he puts them in such a hole that they can't recover like they used to because they don't have the offense they did, plain and simple.
Well, you were right about Mookie Betts, though.
You damn right I was. I told you. You know, listen to me.
Listen. Pretty sure.
I don't think he's going to be.
Bradley.
Yeah, listen. Betts is not going to win the Triple Crown, okay? But this guy, every year, I think he's going to hit maybe 290 to 300, 30-plus home runs maybe, you know, 100 RBI, 100. This is not a leadoff spot he's playing now. 100 runs scored, 200 hits, 40 doubles. Unbelievable. Bradley's still not there as a hitter yet, but he's the best defense center fielder in the game. It's not even close. I'll debate this with anybody. It's not even close. He's that good. His bat's coming along. Okay, he's never going to be a 290 hitter, 270, 280. He could hit 25 home runs. So I like the future of this team in the outfield. Benintendi looks like Fred Lynn, only without that much power. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. If they could, you know, fill the hole at third base, they'd be all right.
Can the Yankees compete?
I don't see why not. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I was a little surprised that they got Frazier last night and the Red Sox didn't, truthfully. I think that the White Sox wanted
too
many
prospects. The Yankees were in desperate need of pitching. I mean, desperate need.
Yeah, but Robertson and Conley are the answer? They're not starting pitchers.
No, obviously, but I mean, you know, we didn't really have – I mean, Betances is streaky. I don't know what the hell happened to Chapman. I mean, he's falling apart. I mean, at least you guys have Kimbrel. At least you guys have Kimbrel, who's been reliable to come in on a
Joe
shut
Kelly,
down late.
Let me tell you something. Joe Kelly's been the best reliever in the league, if you
Joe
ask
Kelly
me this
too,
year.
Yeah.
But he got hurt now. No, listen. You got to forget. They got Frazier, too. Listen, Greg Bird is hurt. They say he's out for the year. He said he's not. I don't believe that. You know, they got rid of Chris Carter. This team needs, other than Judge, what the hell does this team have offensively? Sanchez came back to life like I should have told you he was going to. So What else do they have offensively? You think Ellsbury is the answer? Brett Gardner? Headley's the worst third baseman in the league other than, well, not Fat Panda anymore. So they needed Frazier. He's not going to hit for average, but they need the power. He's going to flip-flop between third and first. I think it was a good move for the Yankees. I'm not happy about it. What the hell? Of course I'm not. But he's going to help their lineup. I think that was an important part. The Yankees started pitching more now with Pineda out. So it's like, I'm surprised they didn't get somebody else. Are you?
Well, the Yankees were going to – rumor has it they were looking at the Aguilar – or they were looking at the guy – what's his name there? I gotta look it up real quick. The Oakland A's first baseman.
Alonso.
Yeah.
Yonder Alonso.
That's right. They were looking at Yonder Alonso, and then also Sonny Gray as well.
I'm not sold on Sonny Gray.
Tremendously helped them.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I'm not sold on Gray. Alonso finally figured out a hit this year, so I don't know how good he really is. Gray's been too injury prone for me. You know who he reminds me of? Do you remember Rich Harden that played for them a couple years ago?
Yeah.
You know, Rich, listen, this guy had all the talent in the world. This guy threw 100 miles an hour, and he kept getting hurt. He couldn't stay healthy. That's what Sonny Gray is, except he doesn't throw as hard. I would never trade for this guy.
True. You're not on the Sonny Gray bandwagon, huh?
No. Listen, if I wouldn't give up my top prospect for this guy, I'd give up some like mid-level, single A instructional league guys. I wouldn't trade the top prospect for this guy. Would you? I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
On.
I know a lot of Yankee fans. Well, I know a lot of Yankee fans were calling for it. A lot of Yankee fans were saying, go out and get him because we need pitching. But, yeah, I'm not overly
impressed. Yeah, but you know what they're going to want for that guy? They're going to want Gleyber Torres, at least. They'll want Sheffield.
At least.
Please. The Yankees won't give that up.
Maybe
they'll
Frazier.
Want Clint Frazier,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now. They're not going to get him.
Yeah, they will.
I was actually surprised the Yankees included Rutherford in that deal for the White Sox. He was actually pretty good.
You know, me
good.
Too. And look at this, though. Look at the trades that the White Sox have acquired, also from you guys, as well
yes.
as from the Cubs. I mean, look at the young talent that the White Sox have brought in. I mean,
oh, they called up Moncada today. He's going to play, but I don't know how good he really is. Kopech's not going to be good for a couple of years because his arm's going to fall
off. Dude, Kopech is nasty. Kopech threw at 100 and what? I think
five.
He was clocked once at 110, 105, something like that.
105.
Crazy.
I don't buy that,
insane.
By the way. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Who the hell throws that hard? Come on.
Well, Chapman. Chapman's throwing 105.
Yeah.
It happens.
You bet it does. No, I like the Yankees' move. I'm pissed off because the Red Sox haven't made a move third base. They finally got rid of, I'll tell you, Sandoval might have been their worst free agent signing ever. Well, actually, it might be second because Carl Crawford was just as bad, and he made more money. Oh, no. The guy just was terrible, man. I don't know why they thought he was going to be great over here in the American League. The guy always shows up out of weight. The guy doesn't care. If he cared about himself and wanted to earn his contract, his ass would have showed up and played better. The guy broke his freaking belt during a game in April. Come on. Really?
Yeah, that is actually kind of fun.
Oh, it was. But the guy's going on the DL for inner ear infections and all this crap. Come on. The fact that Travis Shaw, who was a first baseman practically, beat him out for the job last year at third base says a lot to me about not just his talent but his character to let that happen. And the Red Sox are idiots and fools for thinking that Shaw trade looks great right now. Oh, please. To think that Sandoval was going to be close to anything he was since they got traded Shaw. Forget it. Unbelievable. Terrible.
So you know what time it is, Jeremy? Besides being 204?
What is it?
Dak Prescott.
Oh, I knew it. Oh, Jesus.
The fourth round pick has been.
Hey. You stop your moaning and you listen. You listen to Joe Buck talk about the future of this organization.
Dak Prescott, the poise that he has shown, the fourth-round pick, has been what stood out to me. To his left, end zone. Touchdown, Butler!
thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! It's been 99 passes in the NFL without an interception for Dak Prescott.
So here's my thing.
You done?
No. I mean, I could play those clips all day. I have 100, Cowboy Prescott clips and Elliott clips and things, but I won't torture you really.
Regular season games.
Yes, regular season games in which he was.
Call me when you win a postseason game, okay?
Excuse me. I shouldn't say undefeated as a starter. He was 13-3 as a starter, but. I understand, and I think a lot of teams. My worry is that a lot of teams now have figured him out.
Right.
A lot of teams know that.
Which is the most important thing.
I think a lot of teams know now that he's going to pump once to the left, run right. That he has trouble throwing on the run. But I think what a lot of people don't give Dak credit for.
Yeah, but he's going to have to adjust.
I have
that,
a highlight.
Not just the league.
Well, that's a coaching thing. But I have video to prove. Everyone says, Dak can't go down the field. He can just throw bubble screens and all this stuff. Well, I have video proof on YouTube of him actually making a couple of 40-plus yard throws. I mean, the dude can flat out sling it. Problem is the offense.
Right.
Wasn't really set up for that last year. I think this year they're going to let him open it up a little bit. Here's my question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be missing Ezekiel Elliott for two games?
Oh, it might
and
be more
that
than that, by the way.
Prescott?
Oh, please.
Well, they're saying it might go from 4-2. And if Jerry Jones is able to pull the strings that I think Jerry Jones is able to pull, he might not even get to 2. But how is that going to affect him? Because we play you guys. You New York Sheehan.
Yes.
Week one,
that's
in
all you got.
Dallas
She-Man.
On Sunday Night Football.
Really?
The She-Man, yeah.
That's
the whole division. The Deadskins, the Beagles, and the She-Man. You should know this by now.
Oh, that's really stupid, by the way.
Well,
the Cowpokes are going to be miserable for about a month until they figure out how to play as a team without two players. Listen, this team needs to figure it out, dude. If they're just Elliott and Prescott, you really think that's going to win 13 games again? I don't. Do you? Look, Witten's getting up there.
They didn't lose anybody. I think they've
got
the talent to win 13 again.
But here's the thing, though. I think that every team in the division except for Washington has gotten better.
Has gotten exponentially better, yes.
I think Philadelphia is better offensively than Dallas is right now. Don't you?
Maybe
not.
All right.
Well,
they still don't have a line. They still have an offensive line. I mean, you're still going to get
on
Carson
paper.
Wentz
they look pretty good. Everybody says that on paper. Crap. Listen,
wide receivers. Wide receivers are going
to
be pretty good.
But like, I don't understand. Like, this is the thing. Like, this team has all the talent in the world, and nobody knows what the hell they're going to do. Listen, I'm talking about the Cowpokes now. Listen, the Cowboys have this talent. Listen. I know Witten's got up there. He's still pretty damn good tight end. Okay. Cole Beasley's okay. I don't know how great he really is. But, you can't tell me the key to this season is not Dez Bryant. This team, listen, they're going to figure out how to stop Elliott. Okay. Let's be honest. And Prescott's going to need to learn how to move on the run. If Bryant is not anything like he used to be, what do you realistically think this team's going to do? They're not going to throw the ball downfield. They're going to do the bubble screen crap. I don't know if that's going to work again. Do you?
Well, this is a run-first football team who's going to want to establish that smash-mouth run game. And, they do have, McFadden. They do have Zeke. And they're going to run at you, and then they're going to throw it. And, they're going to get maybe 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, then throw the ball. And that's basically what they've said they're going to do, and they're challenging you right now, saying, "Listen, come up and stop it." And so far,
I agree.
So far, the only team that's been able to stop it has been the Giants. I'm not even going to say Green Bay was able to stop it because that was just a lack of us playing defense. I mean, Dak brought us all the way back in that game. So I think the Giants have been the only team that have been able to stop.
My question is, what is Elliott going to be mentally for this season? he's gone through a lot of BS this year, and I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to matter to him because I've seen this guy play.
I
don't think he's going to care.
He turns that switch on. And,
yes.
Yeah, I think he turns that switch on.
This is the one guy.
Another level.
Yeah, he's not going to care what he does. I don't think he cares what the fans think about him on that psychological crap. He's going to go out there. He's going to prove it on the field. I'm not worried about him. So I just don't know what team you're going to get now with Elliott out there and with Prescott and the people seeing him now with the year. So, you know, who the hell knows? Until season starts, who the hell knows?
Yeah. But, I mean, I also think that Zeke, behind that line, I mean, he's not going to get touched until he reaches the second level.
No.
You know, and I think all day long, if you get into a battle with him lowering the shoulder, all day long, he's going to run over corners and safeties. So
I think he's going to win the rushing title this year. If he doesn't, I'll be stunned.
He has a shot.
Who's
going to
be
shot? Him?
Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell, but you know who I think makes a sort of a surgeon? Because do you know who has the second best offensive line in the league behind Dallas? Oakland.
No.
And who is Oakland's new running back? Well, I shouldn't say new running back. He's an old running back at this point, but new to them is Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, but I don't know what Lynch – yeah, but he's been – I don't know what he's going to – he's all head. I don't know what that guy – who the hell knows?
Lynch is – I'm telling you, on that team, the Raiders are going to be pretty dangerous out there in the West this year.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. Is he is there really going to be a drop off from him and Latavius Murray? Like, I mean, Lynch is probably the better running back.
Maybe. But I mean, obviously, Le'Veon Bell might be the best running back. I think, hands down, is the best running back in the AFC. And I think Zeke, right now, hands down, is the best running back in the NFC. But that's not the point here. I think Dallas.
No.
Dallas is going to, like I said, they're going to run that smash mouth offense. And now they've got – not only do they have Cole Beasley, they grinded this guy I'm reading the Grind of My Gears thing coming next, and it just came out. They drafted this kid, Switzer, who's like a Beasley, who's going to play in the slot. He's real fast. He has hands like glue. Obviously, you got Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams out there, Jason Witten. I mean, they've got other options now on the offensive side. Offense, I'm not concerned about. The defense – I was concerned about it. Now with Taco Charlton, okay. But now, you know, when everyone left, we had zero secondary coming into the draft. Shadobi Awuzie's probably going to start. Jordan Lewis is probably going to start. Obviously, now you've got Orlando Scandrick out there as well. The only real question mark we
have. Those
are
real household names, by the way. Jesus.
They are. We have a good D-line. We have good linebackers. Jalen Smith is now going to play his first season. Okay, along with Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens. But I'm worried about that secondary. So really, it's going to be the same thing with Dallas that it's been the last 10 years.
Dude, when they start, the first team to start in defense, they start throwing the ball. You'll see how good the corners are. I mean, you really can't judge that a little bit until you get the regular season. You'll see in the opener, so if they play the Giants. Listen, with the Giants' offensive receivers now, you're going to see – we'll see how good the secondary for Dallas is because they're going to throw the ball.
I am.
And you'll know by then.
I am nervous about that air attack. I mean, not only do you have Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm not.
Shepard. Well, I am because you're not nervous about it. Of course, you should be excited about it.
No, wait, hold on. Wait a minute.
Beckham, Shepard, Brandon Marshall, and now this Ingram kid. I mean, if Eli, I know that Eli has zero offensive line, but if he's able to set his feet and get the ball out, I mean, pick your poison, right?
Well, listen, I have concerns with this, number one, because I don't know.
Why?
Listen, for all the people that love Odell Beckham, I'm on the path where I'm not sure what this guy really is as a receiver. I think he's an emotional kind of guy, which I don't mind. But when there's too much emotion involved, this guy crumbles, and I don't like that fact, okay? I'm not sure what Brandon Marshall has left in the tank. I think he has something left to prove after what happened with the Jets, so I think he might be okay. Ingram is not a tight end. I don't know why they draft him as a tight end. You know, he's another receiver, but he's got to be able to block the damn ball, and he can't do that. You know, I think if Shepard's going to be okay, I don't know if he's going to be that great. The problem is not with them. I think it's Manning is never been a throwing quarterback like this. So I don't know what the hell he's going to do is what scares the hell out of me, because I don't know how what he has left. So I'm terrified, to be honest with you, because I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I really don't.
Now, I know that this is going to sound a little strange, but I know that Eli has never been hurt since he's been in the league. In fact, he started every game since being drafted. But my question is, are we going to see Davis Webb at all this season? Is this going to be a Dak Prescott situation where – I'm not saying Eli is going to get hurt.
No.
But Eli has been on a steady decline the past couple of years. Do you think that Giants fans, knowing how New York media is and how New York fans can be, do you think if Eli maybe throws a couple picks here and there, or blows a game or two here and there, you're going to start hearing, hey, put the kid in, let's see what Davis Webb can do?
I think yes and no. Listen, I think Webb's going to take a majority of snaps in the preseason.
Well, of course he would.
Yeah, but like, I don't know if that doesn't mean anything to me, because you can't tell Dick by the preseason. But if Manning can't get on the same page with the receivers and Perkins sucks as a running back, and they're like 2-2 and they get to be 2-3, I don't know. You'll hear some rumblings, but there's no way in hell Webb is going to play this year unless Manning gets hurt, knock, knock, because I don't think Webb is ready, okay? If this guy was an elite quarterback, he would have been drafted in the first round. This guy got drafted in the third round for a reason, okay? So I think eventually you're going to see this guy play, but not yet. I think Manning's got 3 years, if that, left. But they got to start developing this kid to see what he can do, because they have no other options. What are you gonna do? You're gonna put Josh Johnson in there, and you're gonna throw a I forgot his name, the idiot kid from the Jets. What the hell is his name?
Geno Smith.
Yes, please. Like, their options are dreadful. That's why I'm terrified if anything happens to him. As much as Manning drives me nuts, there's no alternative. I've seen Webb play in college. He's got a big arm. I like where he's going. I'm not sure if he has the intangibles yet, like where he can read a secondary when it counts. In the red zone, he was okay. So, you know, this is important things you need to learn. If Manning was any kind of guy like I think he is, I think for sure he will help Webb learn all the intricacies of what he needs to play, because I think that's how he is. So I think eventually when he's ready to go, he will tell the Giants, and Webb will be ready to go, but – who the hell knows when that's going to be? So that's what scares me. So nobody knows.
It's about 50 days until this team. Until
I can't believe it already.
On Sunday Night Football.
When the season just ended.
Summer's flying by.
Yes, it is.
But about 50 days in Dallas. It seems like every year these two teams open in Dallas for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It is annoying. Let's say Zeke plays. Okay, let's say Jerry Jones pulls his strings that he's known to pull. Because remember, it's Jerry Jones is the reason the Raiders are in Vegas in a couple of years. So, I mean,
he's got
a lot of power in him.
He'll play.
Let's just say for hypothetical purposes, Zeke plays. Okay?
He will.
Cowboys
I don't see
have all,
why he won't.
All their starters. Okay, yeah, me either. But let's just say he plays. Okay? Offense and defense. All healthy. Same thing with the Giants. Offense and defense, all healthy. No preseason injuries, no suspensions, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I know what you're taking in this game, but who are you taking in this game?
Well, if I'm looking at it right now, I think the offense, I'm not sure yet. I think it might be close to even, because I'm not sure how the Giants receivers are going to be together. I think on paper the Giants' defense is better than Dallas the way they played last year. I'm not going to pick against my team, especially when they beat them last year down there and they've had success in Dallas. So I'm not going to go against my team. I don't think it's going to be some crazy blowout game, but I think it'll probably be close like it always is.
No, of course it's never a blowout. I mean, hell, we lost two games by 4 combined points to you last year.
Yes.
So.
I think, you know, it's going to be one of those defensive struggles. Unless the Giants start scoring 35 points a game, which I don't know if they're really going to do that, then I don't think Dallas can stop them all defensively. I mean, you're probably, we'll be looking at probably like a 17-10 game, maybe something like that. I think.
Boring. Yawn.
Yeah.
I want a 35-31 shootout. I just don't think against that Giants defense, you're going to be able to get that many points.
No, here's what listen, the fan in me thinks with this offense, this goddamn team should score 35 points a game. That should be no excuse, okay?
Every game. I think they should,
yes,
too, with that
Beckham
offense.
Should have 17 – look, this is like Beckham should have 17 touchdowns. Marshall should have over 10. Shepard should have at least 12. You know, Ingram should have at least 9 or 10 as a tight end. And if Perkins is anything close to what he's going to be, this team should score 35 points a game. Okay, that's the real fan in me. But the realistic fan – thinks that I have no idea. Like, usually something goes wrong or they mess something up and they don't get it right. So I'm thinking 17, 18, 20 points a game. That's what they score. Unless they put this together in the preseason and camp, I don't see it happening. So I feel like they're going to be good defensively. You know, they've taken strides. They've gotten better defensively. You know, bringing Pierre-Paul back, actually, I was surprised. But, like, it's a good morale builder for the team because of what he's been. I think on paper, honestly, this is the most complete team they've had. I can't remember when. What deep, like, you know, offensive line, I think, is still the weakness. You know, this is the best wide receiving core.
More complete than the Super Bowl teams were?
Yes, I do. Here's why. Because this is the best receiving core they've ever had, ever. And I've been watching Giants 1985.
That's hands down. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, they've had a lot better linebackers. You know, they had Banks and Pepper Johnson and Lawrence Taylor all together. They have anything close to that linebacker-wise. Defensively, the corners are better, younger, and faster than they were. You know, Landon Collins is going to become a star, if you ask me, in this next couple of years. You know, with Vernon there and Pierre-Paul now and Snacks, Harrison, who I love. That guy is great. They can plug up holes. I mean, they're still prone to give up the big play. I understand that because – Rodgers took him apart last year, which I was actually honestly surprised because of the way they played defensively the last month and a half of the season. I was very surprised by that. So, this realistically, I think me, the Giants, best team I've ever seen. If Perkins is anything close to what they want him to be, he's good for maybe 900 yards, 7 or 8 touchdowns. If the offensive line is lousy, then they're screwed. That's the only weakness I see right now, other than the linebackers in this team.
Would you say that this possibly, now again, it's on paper and it's all speculation, would you say this possibly could be the best Giants team ever?
I think, you know what? I think this team is definitely better than the 1990 team because that team had no offense and Phil Simms was hurt and they had Hostetler all year. I think, you know what? Yes, I do. 2017 didn't have receivers like this. 2011 team was one of the front four defense too.
True.
I really do. I did. I'm just not sure like what Paul Perkins look. They got rid of Jennings. You know, Vereen healthy now. Hopefully, will be something. I think so. Perkins won't have to carry all the load, but like that. Yes. I say yes.
Looking at all these teams on paper, who wins the East?
You my realistic opinion?
Yes.
I think the Giants are going to win the division. I think Dallas is going to finish second.
Ooh.
I think it's only going to be a game or like maybe Giants go 11-5, Dallas maybe 10-6. I think Philadelphia is going to finish third. I really do. And I think Washington's going to finish last. This whole Cousins thing has been a disaster. Have you heard all about that crap on the radio?
Yes, actually, I have.
Come on. Dude, they called him Kurt, dude. Are you kidding me? Come on. Is your franchise quarterback? Like, it's unbelievable to me. I think they lost Garcon and DeSean Jackson, so it's like they don't have much left. Their window is, like, gone. I think Philadelphia, you know, they got Jeffrey. And what the hell? They signed some pretty big running back, didn't they? Who the hell did they get? I can't remember. Oh, LeGarrette Blount, right? Yeah.
Well, the Eagles
think
want, yeah.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia is better than Washington.
I think that they're better. Not only do they have Jordan Matthews, who's a good receiver, now they just went out and got the Alshon Jeffery as well.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
you know,
I put Philadelphia ahead of Washington.
Receiver.
I think Carson Wentz is going to be decent. I like him a lot, actually.
Yeah, if he can stay upright. I mean, the Eagles might have a worse offensive line than the Giants.
I didn't think that was possible, but you're right. Oh.
I mean, the Eagles very well. Yeah, I'm going out on a limb here because there's a lot of bad teams on both sides. But the Eagles might have, I would say, bottom three or four in the entire NFC for offensive line.
Yeah. I agree with you.
So,
and I tell you something. I think the NFC is really like on a downswing. Have you ever noticed that? This team could, if this team goes 8-8, 9-7, Christ, they could get the last wild card spot. I'm telling you, that's how bad the NFC is. You understand what I'm saying? Like, right? Seattle's like,
you know,
Seattle's in the twilight now. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Packers are still pretty good. But other than that, who the hell else is good? The Giants and Dallas. That's it, right? I mean, do you really believe Atlanta's going to be back on top like they were last year?
No, I think, honestly, I think the Bucs win that division this year. I think they got exponentially better.
I agree.
But, you know, and I think the Bucs were close to winning the division last year. I think that, you know, they're trending upward, and I think Matt Ryan and the Falcons are actually trending down. So, I think the Bucs win that division. But and the Saints are going to be – don't learn for you. The Saints will be competitors as well.
They're not going to win 10 games.
No, they're not going to be in the playoff hunt, but they'll be competitive this season. See, I'm the opposite. I think Dallas wins the division. Giants make the wild card.
They go either way.
I think
both of them are going to make the playoffs.
Going to flip-flop on that, though.
Yes.
And then I definitely think, you know, obviously Green Bay is going to win their division again.
Yeah.
I think right now the division winners are going to be Dallas, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and I want to say, that's a tough one out there because Arizona got worse. Seattle's in the twilight, like you said.
Yeah.
The Rams suck.
Niners
I don't know.
Dumpster fire.
There. Yeah, the 49ers. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? When the season
I'd
comes
pick
around,
Seattle
the
by default.
Closer, we'll make our actual predictions. I got to see a couple of these teams play first, but.
Yes.
Here we go. I know you got some time. I know you got to go. You got life complications and prior obligations to handle. So that's cool. I just wanted to finish off this 1 hour commercial free special edition here on a Wednesday. We don't usually do Wednesdays. So I wanted to finish that off. And I also wanted to hit you with a little bit of this.
You did one hell of a job. And the only thing else I got to say is, how about Jim Cowell?
Yeah! So you know that was from like 1993, right? Like 92 around there.
92, yes. Right. I know. It was the 92 playoffs. I know. I'm aware.
You might want to like come up with something that wasn't like almost a quarter of a millennium year old.
When your team is 156 and 156, they were a 500 team for a decade. You don't have
very
many benefits. Okay,
that's consistent.
Cut me a break.
That's consistent.
That's consistency. Yes, you love it, I hate it, and I'm going to go drink bleach now. We'll see you next time here on Black Friday.
Dead Man Walking.